We're going to continue in this series called Filled to Spill. And won't you stand with me together? We're going to read one verse on the screen. This is how we're going to do a little different in this series. And then we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to begin to talk about. And you can just have that your Bible open and look at it as we go. We're not going to really read that one. I just wanted us to look at this one together. Those of you that are online watching this service as well, we're talking about filled with the Spirit. So now that we have the gifts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is, let me explain it like this. We have the fruit of the Spirit. That's a good catch. You see that? The fruit of the Spirit represents our character, and that's the cup. And as we teach this in our leadership training, ETS, that our character is the cup that holds the anointing. And inside is the gifts of the Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. But God wants to make sure we got the right size cup to contain the right size gifts. So if we want to be used in the anointing and in the gifts of God, the Lord says, let's talk about the cup. Is your cup full this morning? What size is your cup? I was going to get a big gulp from 7-Eleven. That's what God wants us to have. And we get so filled with God and filled with the love of God and filled with the joy, the peace, even self-control. These are all character. This is all about the cup. So God can trust us and fill us up with the gifts. And here's the scripture, if you want to put it on the screen, in Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may, what? Say it real loud. Overflow with hope. By, how do you do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to talk about this as we look into the gifts of the Spirit, is that sometimes when you talk about being filled and spilling, we can make a mess. And if there is anything that has been most misunderstood and has made more messes and even ignored, it would be the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I want to talk about the 9 messy miracles. Because God wants us to be filled, but he wants us to make more miracles than we do messes. And some of us have heard all about the messes, and we're so afraid of the messes that we won't let God do any miracles. Yeah, that's true. And so Paul is addressing a church that was very messy. And he says, I need you to get to the place when you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're going to make some messes. It is going to be some messes at some times. Not everything is cookie cutter and perfect. But if I can get you to focus on the miracle more than the mess, I'll be able to use you in every area of your life. Y'all ready for this? Yes. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You want to use all of us. We are all ministers called by you to make a difference in our world. And Lord, I pray that you use me today. Give us ears to hear what you would have us to say and hear. And I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tell 3 people, don't make a mess. Don't make a mess. You can be seated. Don't make a mess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The messy miracles. The 9 messy miracles. Want to get right in. I was just thinking of this. Thank you, Zechariah. Thinking about this so much all week and preparing this message and these messages about the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do. And I was thinking about how spills can be messy. They can. They can be messy. I know this because I was the spiller of my family. My mom's already shaking her head. How many have a spiller in your family? Amen. I mean, yeah, see those hands. Amen. How many are the spiller of your family? Amen. No matter how hard I tried to not spill, I would even use 2 hands. I would spill every single time. I just was a spill. Even to this day, I was invited. I get in some of these settings that God has opened the door for me. They're very professional. They're very, very nerve-wracking. And I've had the privilege of praying with some of our at the FBI luncheon with being a chaplain. It's a very big thing to do, is to go out there in Livonia, and it's a place where the FBI are there, officers and many mayors, chief of police, and this is one of those kind of settings, and the attorney general was there, and it's a big time to get together for them to correspond and stuff. Well, they always have me open in prayer and sometimes say a few words, and so we're dressed to the nines, we're looking good, and the first time I went, we sat down, and I sat there, and I have an officer friend who, some of you know him, that come here, other officers, and his name is Chip, and he always talked about these cookies that are at this place. That's all this guy talked about, was, man, you gotta have these cookies when we get there. And so I was like, oh man, I can't wait for these cookies. And so we get there, and I'm already nervous, all right, this is my first time being there, this was like 2 years ago. And so we get in there, and I'm meeting some of these guys, you know, introducing me as a chaplain officer, and they get up and they do what they gotta do, and then I'm sitting there, and right before we got started, though, I'm thinking how to pray. Like, I know how to pray, but when you're in a setting like that, how many know people really ain't listening, they're not really, you know, getting into your prayer, they're watching what you say because they want to know who, what kind of minister, and you got all this thing, man. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, I'm wanting to just share the gospel. Like, how do I do it? So I'm already nervous, and I'm sitting there, and I go up. They had a little bar area up there, and they had coffee, juice, and water and stuff. So I go up there, and I say, hey, Chip, I'm going to go get us some coffee, right? I probably had 6 cups of coffee. That was a big no-no. I get up there, and the lady said, what would you like? And I told her that, and I said, do you have any soda water? She turned around, and I hit my hand on this thing. I just turned around, started walking away. Turned around, walked up there, got them napkins. She's still down there looking, and I'm just cleaning the stuff up. She gets up in the morning. I'm a spiller, amen. And I sit down, my pants is wet. I sit down at the table, and I'm talking to Chip, and I'm, how you doing? I'm a spiller, amen. But it got so bad when I was a kid spilling, and maybe you do this, is that mom would let me come in the living room, and sometimes if I had to stay home from school because I had a tummy ache, and I wanted to watch Bugs Bunny and Friends, the best cartoons ever, or Dukes of Hazzard, or the A-Team. Anyway, so but mama says, you can watch TV, Eddie, and she'd put a towel down for me to eat, and I'd have to eat dry food, like Doritos, and I had to leave the cup in the kitchen. So every time I got thirsty, I had to run, and sometimes I would sneak in with that cup, and sure enough, no matter how hard I would try, I would spill. Here's the point of all of that. Many times, same way with the Holy Spirit, and many of you probably have came from churches or backgrounds where you heard all about the messes. And some churches are like that. They won't let you bring the cup into the church. And in your mind, you think the Holy Ghost stuff, I'm down with the fruits, but when it comes to the gifts, I don't want the mess. You can leave that cup in the other church. You can leave that cup in the other room. I'm okay by myself. Well, I want you to know that you're going to be eating a lot of dry food in life, and sooner or later, you're going to need something that's refreshing, something that can quench something that you've never had before. You need the cup, and you need what's inside of this cup. So you can bring your cup to River of Life. Amen. I hope you are cups today, wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come to River of Life. Bring your own cup. BYOC, whatever. This is a church that I want you to know that God, it's not about a church. God wants you to be filled with His Spirit. And sometimes it is messy. But if I can get us to focus on the miracles and not the mess, you can experience something new and exciting from God that is only He can satisfy you with, and that's with the Holy Spirit. We can be so concerned about the messes that we miss out of the miracles. And when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of you think, I don't even need them, or I'm good enough with this, or I'm good enough with that. But I want you to know, God wants, these gifts are for all of us. God wants all of us to use our gifts. Now, last week we learned about the character gifts. We learned about those creational gifts that God has given us at birth. These are the gifts of the Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when this cup is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and there's 9 of them, and we're going to look at them in the next few weeks starting today, they will overflow, and they're made to bring miracles, not a mess. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not making a mess. Miracles happen. People get healed. People get delivered. People are interested in God. People are wanting to get closer to God. This is what happens when we spill what God has given us. But unfortunately, many churches have made more messes than they have miracles. And so many people, like I was as a kid, want to leave the cup in the other room. Well, I'm here today to tell you to go get your cup and bring it in, because God wants to fill it. He wants to use you in areas that you can't even imagine. And Jesus, again, it's not always cookie cutter. It is kind of messy. I mean, how many know Jesus was messy with some of his miracles? That will remind you the one guy that came up that was blind, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to be able to see. And what did Jesus do? He spit in the mud. Everybody say messy. How would you like to come up for prayer at the end of the service, and one of our prayer team goes, okay, you better not spit in my face. Okay, here's the thing. Jesus is the only one that did that. And that was the only time that you ever read this. So don't do that. We have anoint, we're told to anoint with oil, not dipping and splash it. And pray the prayer of faith. But listen, Jesus did that. He spit in the dirt, messy. He rubbed the mud on the guy's eyes, more mess. And he said, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible says when he went and washed, and as that mud came off, a miracle happened. See, if you will learn to hang on through the mess, if you will learn to hang on even the things that you don't understand fully, especially about tongues and prophecy, those have made a lot of messes. Don't go to YouTube, because you're going to see mess after mess after mess after mess after mess. Go to the Word of God. You'll see some messes, but you'll see miracles like that young man. No one questioned him about the mud after he could see. And then he came back, and he was able to see God. Have there been messes when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit? Absolutely, there's been messes in the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot of crazy things out there. I'm just setting the tone. I'm setting the stage here when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. There are a lot of weird teachings out there. There are churches that pray that, you know, if you want a miracle, you got to get in this line. This is a $50 line. You got to give $50 to the minister, and this is a $100 line and a $200 line. That's crazy. That had never happened here. That's all mess and no miracles. That's not in the Bible at all. So as we talk about some of these things, I want you to know that there is miracles. There is true prophecy. There are true healings and speaking in tongues that is in the Bible. But we don't handle snakes and we don't run around. And that was the thing I always talk about, that when I talk with people, like, what kind of church you go to? You know, I go to a church and what do they believe? I tell them, we believe the whole Bible. And they say, are you the Pentecostals? You know, sometimes I say that and I'll go, well, we're full gospel. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts. And then they always, if you could tell how they answered that. If they're not even sure, they won't even say that, and I'll have a great conversation. But the ones that always question it are usually those that has had a very negative experience, mess, and so they label us and think that you're a certain way. They did it to Jesus. They did it to the early church. And you got to learn to say, hey, don't take it so personal. It's just some people have learned more about the mess than they need to know about the miracles. And I tell them, listen, we lift our hands at our church because the Bible says to lift your hands. We clap our hands. We get excited about Jesus. We express our love for him. If I can do that at a Lions game, especially when they go 17-0 this season, you better believe this boy's going to lose his voice on that first Sunday night game against the Rams. Can I tell you right now? If we can get that excited over a ball game, we should be able to express our love and gratitude for Jesus who died for us. And when you say it like that, people are like, yeah, I never thought of that. And then when they get to know you, they know you're not this crazy person, and you start understanding that they understand the gifts of the Spirit. And I think this has been such a messy topic for people because the enemy knows how powerful this is. The enemy knows if we can get people, the devil don't mind you going to church every now and then. He really don't. He don't mind you even reading a couple of scriptures every now and then. But if you start getting hungry for the Spirit and the things of God, and you start opening up the Bible and saying, God, use me at work, use me in my family, you start doing that. Listen, the devil is afraid of that because you are a threat to his kingdom. Religion is no threat to the kingdom of darkness. Religion is man-made, organized, boring stuff. But when you talk about power, Spirit-filled power, walking with Jesus, the devil trembles at that. And so he's attacked that, and he doesn't want you and I to learn about it. But I want to teach you it, because God wants us to, our cup to be filled so we can be overflowing with miracles in every place that we have. Does that make sense to you? I love what John Wesley said. He says this. He says, "Lord, send us revival without its defects. But if that's not possible, send revival, defects and all." He says, "Lord, I know it can get messy when people get filled with the Holy Spirit. I know it can get messy, and people do weird stuff, and do people fake things, and are there some weird people trying to do stuff?" Yeah, there is. There is. There really is. I'll call it out. I've seen it. And I've had people try to pray for me and do weird things. And I was like, "Hey, man, you know, God bless you. I can tell you, I don't want to tell all these horror stories because I want you to know there are more good than bad." And the devil wants us to remember these crazy stigmas in our mind to keep us from getting our cup filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's one of the most best, powerful, and that's improper English, but it's even gooder than that. If you will learn to be a vessel and say, "God, use me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Use me at work. Use me at home. Use me in the church," and you'll see God begin to change your life and use you in a mighty way. So look at Corinthians chapter 12 there. In Corinthians, they were a mess. They were a mess. We have two letters. We have Paul the Apostle, he actually wrote three, possibly four, but we only have two letters that he wrote. The city of Corinth was it was like Sin City, okay? It was like the red light district. It's still there today, and there's still remnants of the temple that's set up on a high mountain. My daughter and son-in-law went there and toured Athens and all of that for their honeymoon, and they actually got to go over to and did a tour with of the footsteps of Paul. And you can go and see Thessalonica and Ephesus. Those cities are still there. And the tour guide explained the temple, the remnants of the temple on that mountain, and how that was filled with over 3,000 female prostitutes. And they would have indulging in food on one side and sexual immorality on the other side. And it was just totally just wild. And there was actually a term in that day that if you were a person that was wild and no self-control and very sinful, they would say, "You must be Corinthianized." That was the term. That's how bad it was to say. And Paul the Apostle planted a church right in the middle of that mess. And so people were coming into the church, and they had pagan backgrounds where they would worship mythology and Zeus, and they would get in these trances and cut themselves and drink blood and all that weird stuff, and they would do all of that, and they were living in immorality. They were suing one another. They were fighting with one another. They were arguing, bringing each other to court. It was a mess. And Paul actually tells them in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "You are infants in Christ. You are infants in Christ because of all these arguing and divisions," but yet they had the gifts. So let me just stop right here and tell you, having the gift of the Holy Spirit is not a sign of maturity. The fruits are. Because gifts are given, but fruits mature and are developed. Come on, y'all remember that? So if someone has a gift, and yeah, they may be able to speak in tongues, or they may be able to speak and teach, or they may have, and it doesn't mean that they are mature in Christ. That's why Jesus says, "You'll know my true followers by their fruits." And the number one fruit, and I'm going to repeat it throughout this next few weeks, is love. Love. As we love God and love people, those gifts will flow out of you and me. People will want what is in your cup if we are filled with love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because they don't see what's in the cup, they just see the cup. And this is good. If you can see love, joy, peace, and self-control and all that, they're gonna say, "Man, something's different about you." Like they do me all the time. "I know you're a minister, but there's something different about you. Well, what's your story?" I just had somebody ask me that at the gym. I've been going to the gym with Coach Rubens. He's killing me, amen. He's trying to get my cholesterol down. But we've been going and working out every now and then and going in there. So there's some gym rats that are always in there. Time we go, and we kind of developed a little bit of relationship, you know, and small talk, and started not being preachy, but just having a relationship, right? Because you got to connect before you correct. Come on, somebody. Can't be all preachy. You want to connect with people, and so it's not a motive I have. We're just there to hang out, and so you end up meeting people and hanging out. And this one guy just last week came to me. He goes, "Man, you look real familiar." And he goes, "We were talking." Who's we?
He's by himself. And he goes, we were talking that we know you. Someone knows you from somewhere. And one person said, we saw you with some police officers out there. I said, okay, well, so I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I'll tell them. Well, I work with the police sometimes, the chaplain officer. No. We saw you somewhere. You on TV or anything? What do you do? And I said, well, I'm in the ministry. Ministry. So what do you do? I'll work for the largest nonprofit on the planet. We have the largest food distribution than any other. We have the largest clothes distribution than any other. We have planted more hospitals and Ivy League colleges than any other organization. We provide fresh water to every continent of the world. We are there the first responders to clean up every natural disaster through Convoy of Hope. We every week gather for meetings where we worship our one God. I belong to the church. I didn't say that. I'm saying it to you. I said, I mean, I help people. I'm in here. And he goes, you're a Christian. I said, yeah, I go, I'm a Christian. I said, I'm working on the temple, but I got my spirit right. And I begin to share the gospel with him. And now just the other day, he come over and said, hey, man, you mind if I jump in? He wanted to get in the routine and work out with me. What's happening? He was attracted not to what's in there. He's attracted to the fruit. And if you're watching, guess what? This is what I do. And begin to love on him. That's what people are attracted to. They're attracted to the cup, and then you start letting them what's inside the cup, and the gifts of the Spirit will begin to flow out of you as that works. So Paul begins to tell them, he says, you're acting immature because the gifts of the Spirit are not a sign of maturity, the fruits are. So let's look at verse 1 and 2. Lord, help me today. Verse 1, you know we're only going to get through three of them. I'm just going to let you know that right now, okay? Every good sermon has three points. Amen. We're going to try to get to three. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Tell the person next to you, don't leave your cup at home. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual gifts. You know, John 3:16, you know about Jesus, you know about Abraham, you know the Ten Commandments, but I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit, of spiritual things. I want you to bring your cup. I want you to understand what these are for. And then he says this, I know that you were Gentiles carried away to these mute or dumb idols, however you were led. Now, I'm going to really unpack this verse as we go, but I'll just tell you this now. This is so pivotal what he's saying here in context. You were carried away when you worship these pagans. I want you to know, you can write this down. The gifts of the Spirit don't overpower, they empower. The gifts of the Spirit are made to empower, not overpower. You can be overpowered in the presence of the Lord. Absolutely. You can fall on your face, on your knees, the power and the presence of God. But the gifts of the Spirit, you know, some of you are afraid if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, that you're going to say something you don't know. You're going to go into some kind of trance and run around at Kroger and I don't know, all these crazy things, man. Listen, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and he stood in front of King Agrippa. It says, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to proclaim the gospel. After they prayed in tongues, they spilled out into the streets, and Peter got up on the steps of the temple filled with the Holy Spirit and said, brethren, these guys are not drunk. That's what he actually said. These people are not drunk. They're not under drugs. I know you see a little bit of a mess here, but I'm telling you, this is what was prophesied by Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on sons and daughters will prophesy. You see that? He's in, you know what you're saying. When God begins to use you in the gifts of the Spirit, he'll speak to you in a way that you understand. Then he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those are two things. I just put it in one sentence to tell you this. This is rule number one in the gifts of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will never contradict Jesus Christ, but will always glorify him. So if you're ever wondering, is this God speaking to me? Is this God? Is this my voice? What's going on? Is this the Lord wanting me to do that? Is this the Lord wanting me to share my faith with that person or telling me this information? Listen, one way you know that it's of God is that it's always going to bring glory to Jesus Christ. It's always going to line up with the Bible. God's never going to tell you to do something that contradicts the written word of God. Amen. The Spirit of God does not contradict the Son of God. They work together. And secondly, it's always to bring people to Christ, not to us, not to individuals. False teachers, false prophets, they use their gift to draw people to them. A true prophet uses their gift to draw people to God. They want you to know God. They point to God. It comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said. Only by the Holy Spirit can someone say Jesus is Lord. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to bring people under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You'll see this in all of the gifts. So I'm going to give you the spiritual gifts, and you can take a picture of the screen or write them down. There's nine gifts of the Spirit, just like there's nine fruits of the Spirit. But the easiest way to understand these, the easiest way to memorize them, is to know that they are in three divisions of three. You ready? Here they are. You have the verbal gifts. They help us say something. You have the revelation gifts. They help us know something. And the power gifts help us do something. These are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first one, they help us say something. These are the verbal gifts: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The revelation gifts, we're going to talk about them today. They help us know something: the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then the power gifts, they help us do something for God. Workings of miracles, different kinds of healings. And there's another one somewhere down there. You'll look it up and you'll see what they are. Amen. Working of miracles, healings, they're all there. I'm just going to give you today, I want to get into the revelation gifts. We teach this a lot in our leadership training, our ETS. We talk more about which level two is coming up in October. And these are, this is a space that we create to show people how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Gift of faith, thank you. There's the gift of the power gifts, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Those are power gifts. And they're the third there. We're going to talk about revelation gifts today. I want to get into this, keep going with this. So revelation gifts, these are the three that are mentioned, and you can read it when you go home, read the whole chapter. And these are the gifts that help us know something. Wouldn't it be amazing to just know something that you weren't taught? Now, you still have to do your due diligence. That don't mean, I knew I didn't have to go to school. No, that's not what I'm saying. There are times that God will give you, things that you didn't study for, but there are many times he won't say anything and you got to find out the hard way. But the word of knowledge, let me give them to you. These are the three: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then discerning of spirits. They help us know something. The first one is the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? This is a God-given ability to know or understand without having learned by natural means. That's what Paul is telling this church. He's telling them, you guys are kind of out of order. You're very messy. You're doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, there was one guy was having an affair with his stepmom. That's in 1 Corinthians 5. I mean, these people were wild. They were coming into church and wanting to use the gifts of the Spirit, and they were all over the place. And Paul said, whoa, let's calm down. Let's get the fruit right before we start talking about the gifts. And then he addressed it. We're finally at chapter 12, before he begins to answer the question, because he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So he's answering a question that they asked him. That's why you'll find that throughout the book of Corinthians. Now concerning. He is answering questions that they wrote him about. And took him 12 chapters to get to the subject. You think it takes me long to get to my first point? 12 chapters. Now I've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. I've talked about you guys having repentance and getting right with God and receiving Christ, because that's the first gift, by the way, if you're visiting today or you're here in town and you're like, what is this guy talking about? And if you don't know Jesus Christ, the first gift you need to receive is the gift of salvation. You need to get to the place and forget about the mess or whatever stereotype you might think he's going to turn you into, and we're going to have you shave your head and sell flowers at the airport. That's not what I do, amen. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit and give you love, joy, hope, peace, a future, eternity with him in heaven, and use you here on earth in mighty ways that you know is not. And it begins with receiving the gift of salvation. But there's more. Everybody say, there's more. And as you grow in your faith, and after you learn about salvation, you go into the book of Acts and you find out that they left the upper room and they begin to hit the streets and they begin to go everywhere preaching the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And there were people that were in all kinds of occults and satanic occults and demonology stuff and all kind of wild stuff and pagan stuff. They were arrested. Read the book of Acts. It's amazing. And all through it, they were able to penetrate through the Roman culture. And by 300 AD, Rome announced Christianity as their religion. A place that used to crucify Christians and feed them to the lions in the Colosseums and hated Christians. And some of the Caesars would light their bodies on fire to light their garden parties. True story. Rome was barbaric. They were filled with hate. They were a monster empire. And their number one target were Christians. And here these people stayed faithful with God and they continued to have the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they began to go house to house and daily and they had some messes, but the Lord helped them clean it up and they did not give up on God. They knew there was truth in there. They knew there was something different in there about serving the Lord, and he used them. And as I said, they ended up changing. The Bible says they turned the known world upside down for him. But then he gets to chapter 12 and he begins to lay out these gifts. And the first one I want to look at is Revelation. It helped us know something. So let's start. Word of knowledge helps us know something, that the ability to understand and without having to by natural means. This is where you just know that you know. You don't know how you know, but you just know. Jesus used this gift all the time. Jesus used it. And again, I love it. He used it at the woman at the well. You can read it as he goes there and he sits down with her and he says, I'm thirsty, right? And he begins to build that connection with her. He didn't start preaching at her. He wasn't in a trance. He began to talk to her and say, hey, I'm thirsty. And she's like, why are you a Jew, first of all, speaking to me, a Samaritan? And he began to tear down those barriers, you see? He's talking with her. And then he gets all the way to the place. After he's got her hungry for the things of God, what does he say? He says, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He goes, I know, you're living with a guy. And you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with is not your own husband. She said, whoa, you must be a prophet. What was that? That's the word of knowledge. That's the word of knowledge. It was done with love. He was looking at her saying, hey, man, I want to bring you closer to God. I want to bring you closer to Jehovah God. And so he was used in the gifts of the Spirit in the word of knowledge. You can be used in the word of knowledge every day. All the time, at your work, in your family. You could be at Walmart, you could be at any place and begin. And this is when the Holy Spirit would just drop in your heart, you know, something about somebody. I use this all the time. Many of you know it. I prayed for you and this happens and you go, how did you know that? How many of you have ever heard a sermon I preach or someone else preach and you go, well, he's talking right to me? All of you, right? We all do it. How do you do that? That's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. When you come, our greeters don't put little microphones in your cars right now while you're in the church. Our security team don't run out there and place them in this car and we hear and we record and I get a sermon just for you. That don't happen here. It's the Holy Spirit and it just downloads. Pastor Steve will be worshiping. All of a sudden he'll say something and it hit like 10, 15 of you and be like, whoa, what's happening? That's the word of knowledge. That is the Holy Spirit moving in an atmosphere of worship and he's speaking to us. You just got to believe it and receive it. She could have said, man, you're some kind of, I don't know, man, and then run away from Jesus. But the woman said, no. The woman ended up staying. And the Bible says at the end of that story, she was converted and she left her water pot. Watch this. And she went into the city. And she went into the city of Samaria and said, hey, guys, stop what you're doing. I need you to come out and meet a man who told me everything about me and I never even met him. You got to come see for yourself what this guy did. And the Bible said the whole city came out to Jesus. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are meant to bring people under the Lordship of Christ. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are. I pray that you all get filled with the Holy Spirit so much that when you next time you're grocery shopping or the next time you're out at work and you're talking with that coworker, I've done it so many times, and you're just getting coffee. One time when I was working for Intimus, this happened all the time. I'd be just getting coffee, having a conversation, and while we're talking, the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, this guy's going through this. One time he had a son. A guy at work had a son that was suicidal, had no idea. And I just had to ride with him in training. This happened all the time. And while I was in the truck with him, we're just talking, and I kept hearing it, but I didn't want to say anything. That happens. I didn't want to make a mess. And I'm like, how do you say that? You know, God told me your son. I mean, you just don't say stuff like that. So I begin to pray, God, give me an opportunity. This is wise. This is how you do it. You pray, God, give me an opportunity. Show me how to say this. And then we begin to talk, and then this is what he said. So, Eddie, tell me your story. I heard you go to church or you're something like this. Because, you know, and I was like, well, let me tell you something. You know, this is how my life was. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and he changed me. And I just told him just a snippet of my testimony. He's driving down I-96, man. And he goes, whoa, look at the chill bumps, man. You know, he goes, that's a powerful story. And he goes, man, that's amazing. And, you know, my wife's going to this church and that church, but I've never heard it like that. I just gave him a simple gospel. And I said, man, God, you know, God loves you, man. And he's got a plan for your life. And I said, he's got a plan for your whole family. And by the end of the afternoon, he said, can you pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for him. I began to pray for him. And I prayed for his son without any permission. I didn't even know if he had a son. I said, God, I just pray you touch his son right now in the name of Jesus. That's a step of faith. And I said, and I just prayed in the name of Jesus. We got through praying. He had tears in his eyes. He said, man, what'd you say about my son? He said, did I tell you about my son? I said, no. And I told him what happened. He goes, how did you know that? I said, that God wanted you to know that. We went to a Toby Mac concert, like after I done left the company, came to full-time ministry, went to a Toby Mac concert at Eastern University. And if you think our church is loud, go to a Toby Mac concert. He will blow your eardrums out. I was like the older people. I'm just saying, you know what, true story. We looked down, and guess who it was down there with his hand up, with his daughter and son worshiping Jesus at a Toby Mac concert? It was my coworker. You remember that? I hooked up with him. I was like, Daryl, what's up, brother? He was like, man, let me tell you what's been going on. He said, man, we've been having marriage problems. He's just very open. I'm like, okay. He said, and so my wife started going to church with her sister. We're getting marriage counseling. I've accepted Jesus Christ. This is awesome. Don't be afraid of making a mess. People are needing the miracles. They're needing the miracles. Hallelujah. That's a word of knowledge. I could be testimonial with this sermon all day, but I want to get going because I want us to have a time of prayer. That's a word of knowledge. Then he said a word of wisdom. What is this? A word of wisdom is a God-given ability to know what to do. I'm making them short and easy and concise and practical. You ever been in a situation you don't know what to do? You're going to need what's in the cup. You see? You're going to need the whole. Jesus said, I will give you a helper. I'm going to heaven after I rise from the dead, but I'm going to send back the helper. Everybody say helper. That doesn't mean to help you only on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. He's the helper to help you raise your kids. He's the helper to work your job. He's the helper in your community, on your committee, on whatever it is that you do. He gives you words of knowledge and words of wisdom. I mean, there are so many examples I can give you, but you're going to get in a situation and you don't know what to do. This is the practical side of the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is information. Word of wisdom is what to do with that information. My dad always told us boys, he said, the word of knowledge is like telling you, hey, there's a tree in front of you. The word of wisdom is saying, go which way to go around that tree. That's how these gifts operate together. And it's something that you just get in a situation, you don't know what to do. That's how I've run this church. That's how I lead this church, is with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You go through a global pandemic after you just signed the papers to a 35,000 square foot building. We're gonna see what happens. We about lost our mind. What do we do now? We just bought this building. We had our grand opening. And the next week we shut down. Oh my gosh, what is happening? Trust, we was in the Word, trust in the Lord, and the Lord began to give us words. He began to trust in me. I'm gonna bring you through. You're gonna be better when you come out of this than you were when you went in. That was one of the words we got a hold of. We had a guy come into the church and says, this is not big enough of a building, what God's gonna do through this church. We're like, what? We just spent weeks modeling this thing. And look what he's doing. If your vision is something you can do in your own effort, you need to get a bigger vision. Because you serve a bigger God. And if you can do that thing you're dreaming about in your own power, guess who's going to get the glory after you do it? God will make you do something or put a vision in your heart that seems so ridiculous that when you are believing God to do it, he does it on purpose so that when he does do it, only he can get the glory. Amen. This is how Solomon ran his kingdom. One of the most famous ones that I want to just bring you this into the career, to a career place, is Dr. Ben Carson. You might know Dr. Ben Carson. Before he got into politics, he was a neurosurgeon, actually from Detroit. And they made a movie about this story. He's a man of God, man of faith, spirit-filled man. And he was had a operation to separate conjoined twins who were joined from the head all the way down. And he was one of the best neurosurgeons on the planet, but he said he was not able to do this. What did he do? I love the story. Read the book, watch the movie, and you'll see it. He goes into the back room. He begins to pray. He begins to say, God, fill my cup. I got a family waiting for me to come out with the answers. I can't do this. Give me the wisdom of how to do this. And the Bible, or he said, the Lord gave him the exact idea to go in there and perform this surgery. He performed the surgery, and both of the girls lived and survived, and it was a successful surgery. Why? What did he say? First thing, I didn't do it. God gave me the wisdom to do it. You see that? It's a word of wisdom. It's a word of knowledge. It's a word of wisdom that God can use us to do an everyday job. I know police officers. I know people, first responders. I know there's this one movie out of this kid fell through the ice. You guys remember that story? Happened over, I think, in Wisconsin or somewhere close by. And the firefighters and first responders were there, and they're busting up the ice. And thank God for them. And they're risking their life to save this boy. And one of the firefighters says he heard a voice that said to him, go look on the other side of the pond. Go look over here. Everybody was over here, but he said he heard something say, go over here. He goes over here, breaks the ice, reaches down, grabs the boy, and brings him up. And he ended up going to the emergency room and surviving. They made a movie on that. I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit are for you and for me. Last one is discernment of spirits, and then we're going to pray. They got to fill your cup and use you this week. Discerning of spirits, this is gifts that help us know something. A God-given ability to detect what is not obvious. This is a lot of times, this can be a whole hour sermon in this self, because this is how you can tell something that is evil. You can sense something that you ever walk into a room and just sense something ain't right. And it's like, I can feel the tension in that room. Well, we have some of that in discernment. When you get saved, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like on another level. I tell people, when you get saved and you say yes to Jesus, and all you have to do is put your faith in Christ, and you're going to go to heaven. You're saved. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't even have to do any of these gifts. You know, you don't even have to technically get water baptized, but you should. Water baptism is the wedding ring that lets everybody know you're taken. That's what it is. Amen. But what really saves you is when you say yes to Jesus Christ. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit follow. The gifts of the Spirit are, okay, so when you get saved, but this is what happens when you put your faith in Christ. It's like your headlights go on in your car at night. You can now see. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like turning your high beams on. Come on, somebody. You're able to see everything even better. You're able to have discernment. The word of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit are beginning to flow even more in your life. And discerning of spirits. Philippians 1:9. Let me just end with this, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. Worship team, come on up, because we're going to have an altar time here of prayer. And if you're in this place and you're seeking wisdom, you're seeking knowledge, maybe discernment in a certain situation, since I preached on it, let's pray for it. Number one, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, the first gift you need to receive is Jesus Christ. How do I do that? You need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and put your faith and trust in him. And we'll pray for you today as well, that your sins would be forgiven, and you make Jesus your Lord, and you will be saved. But the rest of you, how many are in a situation where you need some wisdom and some knowledge right now? Every time. Amen. We're going to get prayer today. But I want to close with this scripture in Philippians 1:9. You can write it down. It's not on the screen. I love this, Philippians 1:9. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow. There's that overflowing. I want your love to overflow more and more, watch this, with knowledge and discernment, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ. Here's my point. Discernment And all of these gifts today that I've talked about, these three, are rooted in love. You might have had a mess. You might have had somebody say, I got the spirit of discernment, and they're just judgy and mean. You're making a mess, brother. That's not discernment. When Jesus flowed with discernment, he had love. He looked at the rich young ruler, and the Bible says, and he loved him. And then he said to him, you've been a pretty good boy. You've been going to church, but you love money more than me. But back up. First thing he said is he loved him. When you and I, please remember this. This is the sum of the whole message. When we look with love to our coworkers, our family, our people in the community, when you look with love and not all judgy, the gifts of the Spirit will begin to flow through your life. You're praying for discernment. You're praying because people can fool you. Situations can fool you. Remember the story of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm closing for real this time. And the Bible says that Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob was the trickster. Jacob was the conniver. He was the one that always, he had a double personality. He was a trickster. Esau was just a hunter, a rugged man. He was a hairy man, the Bible says. And it's important because at the end of that one story, he's getting old, and Isaac said, I'm going to bless you and give you my birthright. And Esau was supposed to get the first oldest son birthright. But Jacob came in, and he even put hair on his arms because his dad's eyes was weak. And he said, I want to fool my dad. I'm going to let him touch me. And he's going to think I'm my older brother. And he's going to give me the eldest brother blessing. And this story is so amazing. Even though it's in the Old Testament, this is a teachable moment for the New Testament. And he walks in, and Isaac goes, who is that, my son? And Jacob goes, it's Esau, Dad. And he said, come here, that I may touch you. I want to feel your arm. I want to feel you. He came, and his dad touched his arm, and he says this saying. He says, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. Discernment goes past what you're feeling and lets you see with the eyes of the Spirit. Somebody needs to get a hold of this right now. So you can see situations than what they appear. Give us discernment in our church. Give us discernment in this political season. Give us discernment in our raising our kids. Give us discernment in every area of our life. Give us discernment when we try to let our light shine for you, Jesus. Jacob ended up messing up. He messed up. He gave the wrong blessing because he didn't have discernment. God doesn't want you to make that kind of mistake. So he's giving you some help. It's called the Holy Spirit. If you're in this place and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're needing some prayer for some knowledge, wisdom, discerning of spirits, I've met with our altar team. We're ready to pray for you. We want to sing one more song and we want to pray for you. So let's all just stand, come to the front if you're needing prayer today, and let the Lord just touch you. If you just need to get filled with the Holy Spirit fresh today, I'm going to also say that. Come and get prayer today. We're in no hurry. Come on. Donuts will be there if there's any left. Don't worry about them. Come and get some prayer today. If you need Jesus Christ to save your soul and you don't really know him, you need to get prayer today and start a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the greatest decision you've ever made. Come and get prayer today. If you're trying to make a business decision or a family decision, come on, let us pray for you today. The Lord wants to give you some knowledge and some wisdom, and we're going to believe God. He's going to speak to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that are at home, if you want prayer today, just reach your hands toward that screen right there, and I'll just pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, everyone that is watching on the other side of that screen, God, they're in a valley of decision, and they're needing to know what to do, Lord. I pray that you give them discernment. I pray you give them knowledge. I pray you give them wisdom, Lord. Fill our cup, Lord. Fill our cup, Lord, so that we're overflowing. We don't want to make a mess. We want miracles. Help us to make more miracles than messes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.